Of the protocols themselves, little need be said in the way of introduction. The book in which they are embodied was published by Sarge Nihlus in Russia in 1905. A copy of this is in the British Museum bearing the date of its reception, August 10, 1906. All copies that were known to exist in Russia were destroyed in the Kerensky regime, and under his successors, the possession of a copy by anyone in Soviet land was crime sufficient to ensure the owners being shot on sight. The fact is in itself sufficient proof of the genuineness of the protocols. The Jewish journals, of course, say that they are a forgery, leaving it to be understood that Professor Nihlus, who embodied them in a work of his own, had concocted them for his own purposes. Mr. Henry Ford, in an interview published in the New World, February 17, 1921, put the case for Nihlus tersely and convincingly thus, quote, "The only statement I care to make about the protocols is that they fit in with what is going on. They are 16 years old, and they have fitted the world situation up to this time. They fit it now," end quote. Indeed, they do. The word protocol signifies a precise gummed on to the front of a document, a draft of a document, minutes of proceedings. In this instance, protocol means minutes of the proceedings of the meetings of the learned elders of Zion. These protocols give the substance of addresses delivered to the innermost circle of the rulers of Zion. They reveal the concerted plan of the action of the Jewish nation, developed through the ages and edited by the elders themselves up to date. Parts and summaries of the plan have been published from time to time during the centuries as the secrets of the elders have leaked out. The claim of the Jews that the protocols are forgeries is in itself an admission of their genuineness, for they never attempt to answer the facts corresponding to the threats which the protocols contain, and indeed the correspondence between prophecy and fulfillment is too glaring to be set aside or obscured. This the Jews well know and therefore evade. The presumption is strong that the protocols were issued or reissued at the first Zionist Congress held in Basel in 1897 under the presidency of the father of modern Zionism, the late Theodore Herzl. There has been recently published a volume of Herzl's diaries, a translation of some passages of which appeared in the Jewish Chronicle of July 14, 1922. Herzl gives an account of his first visit to England in 1895 and his conversation with Colonel Goldsmid, a Jew brought up as a Christian, an officer of the English army, and at heart a Jew nationalist all the time. Goldsmid suggested to Herzl that the best way of expropriating the English aristocracy and so destroying their power to protect the people of England against Jew domination was to put excessive taxes on the land. Herzl thought this an excellent idea, and it is now to be found definitely embodied in Protocol 6. The above extract from Herzl's diary is an extremely significant bit of evidence bearing on the existence of the Jew world plot and authenticity of the protocols. But any reader of intelligence will be able from his own knowledge of recent history and from his own experience to confirm the genuineness of every line of them. And it is in the light of this living comment that all readers are invited to study Mr. Marsden's translation of this terrible, inhuman document. And there is another very significant circumstance. The present successor of Herzl, as leader of the Zionist movement, Dr. Weizmann, quoted one of these sayings at the send-off banquet given to Chief Rabbi Hertz on October 6, 1920. The chief rabbi was on the point of leaving for his empire tour, a sort of Jewish answer to the empire tour of His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales. And this is the saying of the sages which Dr. Weizmann quoted, quote, "A beneficent protection which God has instituted in the life of the Jew is that he has dispersed him all over the world," end quote. That's quoted from the Jewish Guardian, October 8, 1920. Now compare this with the last clause, but one of Protocol 11. Quote, "God has granted to us, his chosen people, the gift of dispersion, and from this, which appears to all eyes to be our weakness, has come forth all our strength. which has now brought us to the threshold of sovereignty over all the world, end quote. The remarkable correspondence between these passages proves several things. It proves that the learned elders exist. It proves that Dr. Wiseman knows all about them. It proves that the desire for a national home in Palestine is only camouflage and an infinitesimally small part of the Jews' real object. It proves that the Jews of the world have no intention of settling in Palestine or any separate country, and that their annual prayer that they may all meet next year in Jerusalem is merely a piece of their characteristic make-believe. It also demonstrates that the Jews are now a world menace and that the Aryan races will have to domicile them permanently out of Europe. Who are the elders? This is a secret which has not been revealed. They are the hidden hand. They are not the Board of Deputies, the Jewish Parliament in England, or the Universal Israelite Alliance, which sits in Paris, but the late Walter Rathenau has thrown a little light on the subject, and doubtless he was in possession of their names, being in all likelihood one of the chief leaders himself. Writing in the Weiner Free Press on December the 24th, 1912, he said, quote, 300 men, each of whom knows all the others, govern the fate of the European continent, and they elect their successors from their entourage, end quote. A 15th century protocol. The principles and morality of these later day protocols are as old as the tribe. Here is one from the 15th century which Jews can heartily pronounce a forgery, seeing that it was taken from a Rothschild journal. Financed by James D. Rothschild.